Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Then looking in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Again, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is truth. Your word is an accurate guide for all people under all circumstances, in all settings, in all cultures. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your truth is true, and it's what sets us free, empowers us to be a people that walk and live and function, think and move in the power of your Spirit and your truth each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson, our producer, is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your commands. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are love and that you made man in your own image. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us tangibly how you love us through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And Heavenly Father, I ask that you to call the church to walk more in act of love. That we could see the way that you have loved us. You've loved us indiscriminately, and help us to love our neighbors indiscriminately. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, a reminder about truth that we as believers are wise to be mindful of. Every issue is a discipleship issue. And how that's true is, of course, our goal as believers is to live in such a way that we honor God through his word in every issue, every matter, in every way. So the goal is always to ask, what does the Word of God have to say about this issue, this concern, or this matter? Well, as we often do, we share discipleship articles that we invite you to email us, get copies of them. To further introduce our guest that will be on shortly, I want to take time to share at least one or two of these articles. The first one is entitled, Abortion is First Degree Murder. Again, the title, Abortion is First Degree Murder. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, you shall not murder. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Again, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Then Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with the blood. Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Then 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, the Lord gave us the Ten Commandments. These were 10 foundational truths that contain the moral law of God. They carry the wisdom of God, and they are eternal. These commandments honor God and bless the people who live according to them. To violate them To violate them is to dishonor God and to bring trouble, difficulty, and death upon the disobedient. It's in our best interest to hear, obey, and live by each of the Ten Commandments. Each one blesses our lives in a unique and a wonderful way. The Sixth Commandment specifically says, "You shall not murder." This commandment, perhaps more than any other commandment, has some of the most extreme consequences of the Ten when it is violated. One key reason for this is true. When it's violated, a human being made in the image of God is taken out of this world. Abortion is a form of murder, plain and simple. More specifically, abortion is first-degree murder. It's not accidental, but typically well-planned. Tragically, there's much deception, misleading, and many lies surrounding the reality of abortion. Sadly, many who say they are believers are taking the word murder and seeking to substitute it with words like abortion, reproductive rights, and euthanasia. It seems that they want to believe that murder is acceptable if we rename it. Yet whatever name you give the act of taking innocent life, it's still clearly wrong according to the Word of God. Sadly, because this specific kind of murder is repackaged, rebranded, and sold to our culture with a brand new face and cover, many have bought into it. So much so that now it's been stated that one out of every three or four women has had an abortion in our culture. We've become a nation of murderers. That's a very harsh way to put it, one might say. Well, sometimes the hard truth hurts. Sometimes it's very hard, a very hard pill to swallow. Yet sometimes being faced with the hard truth head on helps us to wake up and see where we are and what we are. Now, the God we serve is merciful and full of loving kindness and forgiveness. He clearly told us in His Word, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See 1 John 1:9. We serve a wonderful Heavenly Father who majors in forgiveness. Our job is to confess when we've done wrong, repent of it, and ask Him to forgive us. And He will certainly do it. God always keeps His word. So, is abortion really first-degree murder? Yes, it is. And there are already laws on the books against that. God's word never changed. We did. We allowed ourselves to be deceived and lulled to sleep. So what should we do? We as the church need to repent to God for the sin of abortion. We need to be wise enough, bold enough, and committed enough to say that we've been wrong about the whole matter of abortion. It always has and always will be wrong to commit first-degree murder. God's word will never change. Murdering an innocent human being is wrong, period. And the laws against murder have been in place a long time. We just need to enforce them. Again, the title of that article, Abortion is First Degree Murder. And then the second one, very briefly, this second article is entitled, What is a Safe Abortion? Again, that title, What is a Safe Abortion? Exodus 2:13, You shall not murder. Then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Recently, I was reading an article that was written in support of the issue of abortion. It used the term, quote unquote, safe abortion. Safe abortion. What does that phrase mean? Or maybe a better question is, what is it meant to convey when spoken? Let's define the two words of this phrase. A definition of safe is protected from or not exposed to danger or risk, not likely to be harmed or lost. Another definition of safe is free from harm or risk, unhurt. Another definition, secure from the threat of danger, harm, or loss. Then the second word is abortion. What is its definition? Abortion means the deliberate taking of the life of a baby in her mother's womb. Another definition of abortion is the murdering of a baby before he or she is born. So the phrase safe abortion appears to speak of a safe method of killing a human baby. What? What could such a phrase possibly mean? Sadly, it's a phrase meant to deceive and mislead. There is no quote-unquote safe method of taking the life of a human being. Likewise, there's no way to murder a human being without harming him or her. A related point is, there's no right way to do wrong. There's no such thing as a quote-unquote safe abortion, period. One of the many reasons for this is the reality is that when abortion is carried out, 100% of the time, an innocent human being dies. And sadly, in some cases, more than the baby dies. We live in a world full of deceptive words, phrases, and concepts that are conveyed through many forms of media every day of our lives. Reproductive health care? What is that? Abortion, as harsh as it may sound, is actually a first-degree murder. It's the planned murder of an innocent human being. When the word abortion is changed to phrases such as reproductive health, a woman's right to choose, or a human right, none of those words change the reality of what's being carried out. And when did people start to classify murder as a form of health care? Abortion still murders an innocent child. These terms simply sound nicer or more pleasant to say. They don't sound quite so harsh when someone says them. Yet sadly, the result is the same. An innocent life is snuffed out. How important it is that we, the church, seek to speak the truth in love boldly today. Abortion is wrong, and it always will be. Again, there's no right way to do wrong. In the midst of all these truths, we're not to despair. Be mindful that we serve our merciful Heavenly Father. His Word tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess and repent of our sin, Christ will forgive us and set us free. Christ is ready to forgive, heal, and restore all who choose to come to Him. In a world full of deception and lies and darkness, may we, the church, always read and know the truth. And may we always faithfully seek in love to proclaim that truth to a world that clearly needs to hear it and be transformed by it. And let's stand up for that truth. Again, the title of that second article, What is a Safe Abortion? Thank you, Father, again, for the opportunity we as the church have of being your hands and feet in the world. Thank you for the fact that your word helps us know what's right, what's wrong, what's truth, and what is a lie. Lord, empower us to be a church that is not only proclaiming your truth, but living that truth and helping the world know clearly that we boldly stand for that truth and are prepared to carry that out. We thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to be your hands and feet in the world. And Lord, give us the spirit of boldness. Help us to not be timid about issues that are critically important, issues that are deep in your heart, that you're calling the church simply to hear your heart and represent you accurately with. Thank you for the chance to be vessels to do just that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're coming up on a break, but let me just mention, too, on the other side of the break, we will be introducing our phone guest today, Attorney Alan Parker, who is the president of the Justice Foundation. But along with what he'll be sharing, we want to invite every single listener to pray, to listen, discern what he's sharing, and pray for the word and the will of God to be done mightily through the midst of the project that Attorney Alan Parker will be talking about. Because, again, the most powerful institution in the world is the church. We're God's body, His representatives in the world, and we wield tremendous influence in this world, more so than government or any other institution. We need to stand and be who God has called us to be. We'll be right back.
Come on.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're honored. Once again, we've had Attorney Alan Parker before, but always an honor to have him come on and share. Alan, how are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Thank you very much.
Well, again, thank you for coming on. And as you've been the president of the Justice Foundation for a long time, and you've been a warrior standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and for life for a long, long time. So it's always a blessing to have you. But I want to ask you to further introduce yourself to our listeners. Many may remember your name and your voice, but some may not. And then want to invite you to dive right in and share about a matter that you and your colleagues are working on at this time.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Alan Parker. I am currently the president of the Justice Foundation. That's a 501c3 charitable organization because we give our legal services for free in cases of the public interest, meaning it's a case where an individual may be involved, but the ramifications of the case go far beyond that individual case and affect all the members of the public. For example, in the year 2000, we began to have the opportunity to represent Norma McCorvey, who was the Roe of Roe v. Wade, and Sandra Cano, who was the Doe of Doe v. Bolton. These were the real ladies whose cases, Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, brought abortion to America, supposedly as a constitutional right. And yet in 2000, both of them were strong Christians, came to us and asked us if we would help represent them to reverse the cases that brought abortion to America. And by God's grace and his amazing promises and his breakthrough power, the power to break through strongholds, to pull down strongholds in the heavenly places, he and we have seen the reversal of Roe v. Wade. And we're working now to make abortion illegal everywhere in America, because as you said in the first part of this program, and as the Bible says, abortion is murder. And for 200 years in America, from the 1770s, when we got our start as a nation, 1776 was the next year is the 250th anniversary. And for 200 years, from the 1770s to the 1970s, when Roe came out, we said in this country what the Declaration of Independence says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these is the right to life. And to secure these rights, including the right to life, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. So for 200 years, from the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution until 1970s, we made abortion a crime at the federal government level and at the state levels, because we knew abortion is murder. And now it's time to go back to that while still helping women who need help and who would consider abortion. We've got much better alternatives today to help people without killing the child and deeply hurting the women. I'll just say I represent thousands of women who've been hurt by abortion and given us their testimony to take back to the Supreme Court to convince them that you're not helping women, you're hurting women as well as killing the child.
That is so
true. That's where we are today.
Well, Alan, would you take time now specifically to pray as you dive in to share about the one of the key issues you wanted to share about, that the Lord would open the hearts and the minds of the listeners to really both perceive what you're sharing and to be able to embrace the truth behind it and do what they can to help this move forward. Would you pray for that?
Yes, Lord, I thank you that I'm on this program today, the Hour of Intercession. I thank you for this audience, everyone that you've called to hear this program. I believe you're going to inspire them to pray for the right to life, to be found again in the Constitution by the Supreme Court and to interpret it according to its original meaning, which we said it was a duty of government to protect life from its first moments, that life before birth as well as after birth is protected, and that there's a right to live once you're formed as a human being by God, that you have a right to live unless you commit a terribly heinous crime, and then you get a jury of your peers and a court-appointed attorney, and something says you deserve to die, often because you've killed another human being. So, Father, we pray for this audience. We pray for the Supreme Court of the United States to find the right to life, apply it according to its original meaning, and protect life before birth as well as after birth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Please go right ahead and share about this project that believers can get behind with their prayers then.
All right. Is there a right to life in the Constitution? A lot of people I've asked this question says, well, I don't know, maybe, I hope so. And then I ask them, well, where is it? And some will quote the Declaration of Independence that I just prayed. Oh, you know, these self-evident truths, the right to life. And I'll say, well, great, you know the Declaration of Independence, but that's not in the Constitution. So today, from now on, I want you to proclaim, yes, there is a right to life in the Constitution, and I know where it is. I can quote it to you. And it's what it says is the Fifth Amendment, no person shall be deprived of what? Life without the due process of law. So right there in 1791, as part of the Bill of Rights, only 15 years after the Declaration, we put the Fifth Amendment in there so that government would protect life. And then we had a great civil war because we weren't giving full legal protection to African Americans. We denied them their right to live their own lives. They had to be property. And we then segregated them. And the Supreme Court of the United States was the one that created those crimes against humanity. First in the Dred Scott decision before the Civil War, where sadly they said African Americans were not fully human. They were an inferior race. That lie from the pit of hell that God rejected, the Supreme Court embraced and it led to the Civil War. So then after the Civil War, again, we wanted to protect life. And then we said, this is the 14th Amendment, nor shall any state deprive any person of life without due process of law, nor deny to any person the equal protection of the laws. That was 1868. And so our governments, the state governments, all made abortion a crime. Why? Because it's murder, as you said earlier. And then in 1873, the federal government even said, you can't send abortion-producing drugs anywhere in the country. They had some jurisdiction over commerce, and they said, you can't put an abortion-producing drug. And these things have been around for a long time. There's abortion pills today that they say are safe, and they're not, as your previous article mentioned. I hope your audience gets those two things that you mentioned in the first part of the show. Those were beautiful pieces. But the Comstock Act in 1873 shows that we didn't want death-dealing drugs being sent through the mail or even interstate commerce. Now, what happened from 1920 to 2020, the Supreme Court didn't care what the Constitution said. That may seem strange to say. I'm a former professor of law. I'm a member of the bar of the Supreme Court. I file frequent briefs in these cases. We filed 5 briefs in the Dobbs case that reversed Roe v. Wade. And so I know what the courts have done. And they said, well, we don't care what the Constitution says. We are the judges. We will say what it means. And they created terrible new things out of it, like a right to gay marriage when that was a crime homosexuality was a crime when the Constitution was admitted. We weren't forming a constitution to protect gay marriage. No, we were protecting parental rights and life and the good things that we want to protect. So for the first time since the 1920s, starting in about 2020, when Justice Amy Coney Barrett got on the court, the current court wants to follow the meaning of the Constitution according to the meaning of the words. And like the Declaration says, the government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. If you have nine people making up any law or any right they want, or taking away any right, that's not government of the people, by the people, for the people. That's not just. That's an oligarchy or government by a few. And yet the current judges say, we want to be just. We want to follow the meaning. And what does the meaning say? Clearly, life began before brief. And I'll just quote one quote from the founding era that shows that. James Wilson was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He was a signer of the Constitution, and he was appointed by Washington to the Supreme Court. And here's what he said in his lectures on the law. With consistency, beautiful and undeviating, human life, from its commencement, meaning the beginning, to its close, is protected by the common law. And that was the law of America, everywhere in America. In the contemplation of law, life begins when the infant is first able to stir in the womb. Listen to that. Before the baby's born, that baby's alive. He goes on to say, by the law, life is protected, not only from immediate destruction, but from every degree of actual violence, and in some cases, from every degree of danger. That's even why we have child endangerment statutes. We don't want you to put people at risk of dying. So this is the law. This was the law until Roe v. Wade. And the court now, by God's grace, has said, the Supreme Court, in the case Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health, and we represented thousands of women hurt by abortion who've been forgiven and set free by the blood of Jesus Christ and who are bold witnesses today. The court said that Roe v. Wade decision was wrong from the moment it was decided. There's nothing in the Constitution that protects abortion. In fact, they said the majority of states at the time of the Civil Rights Amendments, the 14th, they made abortion a crime in their own statutes. And so there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. And that was a great decision, a great victory. That was the first step. That was comparable to ending the slave trade, which was necessary before they could abolish slavery. And that happened in America in our own Constitution. We put in that in 1807, the slave trade would be abolished. There was slavery in America. It was a stain. It was a sin. But we were repenting of it and hoping that once we stopped the slave trade, slaves would all be given their freedom, or the next generation would be born free. But now we have to find the right to life that's in the Constitution and stop abortion everywhere in America. And the 14th Amendment would eliminate all state laws that would protect abortion and would say we must protect life instead and help women through the Safe Haven Law, which is available in every state. No woman has to parent a child if she doesn't want to or if she can't take care of the baby. She can walk out of the hospital, leave the baby behind, or bring the baby back within a certain number of days after birth. So we say to the women, we want to help you. And if you're low income, everywhere in America, the government will pay for your prenatal care, your delivery, and your aftercare. That's through Medicaid. So we will help you, please. Don't kill the baby. And there are pregnancy centers everywhere in America that will help you keep the baby. And you can get, if you're low income, we'll help you with housing and food. We want to save the baby. But if you don't want the baby, surrender the baby through Safe Haven, and what will happen to that baby? There's 1 to 2 million families, women every year, desperately waiting to adopt newborns. So the woman who's pregnant, maybe she's not in the condition to be a good mother, but she can surrender the baby, and the good mothers and families will come forward and that are in a position to take that baby. And then this is not the unforgivable sin. We want people to know you can be forgiven, even of the sin of abortion, whether you're a man that participated in it. And men are just as guilty as women, but women bear more of the penalty in their own body because the murder is the only murder that occurs inside a woman's body, and it produces death and tragedy in her life.
Mm. Well, you know, Alan, you've shared so much there, and it's so important for us as believers to know that at minimal, through our prayers, we can always make a difference to help address all of these issues. So it's so critical that we, the church, do our part. But we'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is attorney Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back. Music from the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is attorney Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation. And Alan, can you share with our listeners, if someone wants to get in touch with the Justice Foundation to learn more about it, more about what you do, to give financially, how can they do that?
Thank you. The easiest way to connect us is through our website, thejusticefoundation.org. That's thejusticefoundation.org. And org means we're a nonprofit organization. We give away all of our services at no charge in the areas where we have expertise. And people can get some of that help from on our website. If you're a woman that's had an abortion or a man that's participated, there are healing resources, groups that you can participate with online or in person or by phone. So go to Operation Outcry. Click on that little picture on our website. That's the men, women calling out, speaking. If you're being forced to have an abortion, and that occurs regularly in America, forced abortion is illegal everywhere. Go to our Center Against Forced Abortion. Click on that little part of the page, and you can help prevent forced abortion, or we can help you if you're in the middle of being forced to have an abortion, or if you know a pregnancy center, we can train them how to provide prevention services in your area. And then lastly, you can sign the Moral Outcry petition to make abortion illegal in all 50 states. And if you do that, we'll send you prayer alerts, and we'll send you periodic emails keeping you advised. So we need prayer, and we do need financial support, and we give all our services that are on that website away at no charge.
Amen. Amen. Well, Alan, would you share with our listeners specifically, as you've shared about the right to life and the project of bringing that issue to bear today, would you share with our listeners how can they pray for the Justice Foundation in the midst of this battle, and how should they be praying and participating in helping to support this this work?
Well, thank you very much. I always ask people to pray for three things. We always need this. We pray for protection, because we're coming against the spirit of death. We're coming against the spirit of murder. We're coming against the father of lies. And he does have power in the world, but not greater than Jesus Christ. So we pray that greater is he who's in us and then he who's in the world. But we need to pray for protection. And we pray that for us, and we need to pray that for the Supreme Court of the United States, too. So one is protection. Number two is direction. What do you want us to do, Lord? Show us the way. Keep us on the right path. Give us wisdom from above. Show us the plans that would defeat the enemy's plans. That kind of direction is what we want to know from the Lord, that we're doing what he wants us to do. So protection, direction, and provision is the last thing. We need the resources when we file briefs at the Supreme Court. Often just the printing cost of a brief at the Supreme Court is around $3,000, $2,500 to $3,000, because it has to be printed in a special format by specialized printers, and then made about 40 or 50 copies of little books, and they have to go to the court. We do pay our employees' salaries, and all of that takes time. So the people who give to us allow us to give the free legal services to people that need it, and that we're able to develop our expertise and then help in those areas where we can provide extra special blessing to the individuals involved.
Amen. All righty. Well, thank you for sharing that specifically. Would you take time now to pray for the church, that the church would come to have God's heart on this issue, to where we're not at all laid back, but passionate about what's at passion in God's heart? You know, just the fact that the loss of every single baby really is a tragedy. God knows each baby by name, even when the world doesn't know the child's name. And we're not to approach any issue in the kingdom laid back. We're to seek to have God's heart and his passion for those. Would you pray for the church with regards to having that passion?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, make our hearts burn with what you burn for, Lord. I know you want salvation for everyone, and murder is the wrong way to go to that, Lord, and that there is a penalty for murder. Without forgiveness and repentance and the shedding of innocent blood, there's no remission of sins. And that innocent blood was Jesus's blood on the cross. Let the church see this as a fertile mission field. There are millions of people who need to be offered the forgiveness of healing through Jesus Christ. But Father, we need to stop the shedding innocent blood. You said you hate the shedding of sin blood. Proverbs 6:17, these things I hate, hands that shed innocent blood. But Lord, you also call us to pray for those in authority, and the Supreme Court has much authority. Lord, I thank you that there's a revival in legal and spiritual terms going on at the Supreme Court. They are going back to the founding of our country, that we are a Christian nation with religious liberty. We pray for protection of the lives of the Supreme Court's justices. And Lord, I lift up particularly, help the church to pray for Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, Justice Jackson, Lord, and help her to know that abortion is black genocide, that it disproportionately kills African Americans like her, Lord, and that Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, was a racist, and that Planned Parenthood has admitted today that she's a racist, and they've admitted they're racist today still. So help us end the racism. All abortion is bad, but it's particularly bad when, again, like slavery and segregation, it's used by the enemy to target our African-American brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to see that this is really not a good thing for African-Americans. There's safe haven, there's adoption, there's pregnancy centers, there's government safety programs to help people. And we need to let people know life is better than death. Always choose life. Let that be the message of the church and give them a prayer to pull down the strongholds that are protecting abortion. Lord, I ask those to agree with me right now in prayer that you are pulling down the stronghold of abortion. The Lord rebuke you, abortion power. We bind the abortion power as the abolitionists bound the slave power over America. They prayed against the slave power, and eventually we saw that slave power be extinguished. Though sadly, it's coming back as human slavery and trafficking, Lord, but bind that slavery power, bind the slave power, bind the abortion power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you and I praise you for the privilege we have of being your hands and feet in the world. Father, more and more with every passing day, stir us as the church to seek simply to live by the wisdom of daily asking you, Lord, what do you want us to do? And help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to simply carry out those works. Lord, help us to realize that just, for example, just even with wonderful tools like safe haven boxes, help us to get the word out about things like that. Truths like the existence of abortion pill reversal, tools such as the Dear Client Letter, the Dear Parent Letter, tools that simply, when the church gets them and uses them, helps to not only save babies, but to help educate people about issues surrounding the life issue. Help us to know, Lord, there's so much work to be done, and we as the church should always be fully informed and fully engaged in doing your work, knowing what to do and knowing how to do it effectively. Thank you for that opportunity. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Alan, our time is just about gone. Anything further you'd like to share with our listeners in the next 60 seconds before our time runs out here?
Just thank you all. Thank you all for praying. Keep praying until we see the victory. And this may be one or two or three years. It took a long time to reverse Roe. I think it's going to be very quickly in terms of the law. But pray to the end. When you pray for the government, when you pray for the president or Congress, always remember to pray for the Supreme Court, too. They have a lot of power in our system of government, and we need righteous judges in America. Pray for them also.
Amen. Amen. And one more time, your website, please.
www.thejusticefoundation.org.
All right. Thank you again, Alan, so much for being with us, and please continue to keep up the great work that you and the Justice Foundation continue to do.
Thank you for all you do.
And Father, we thank you for, again, the ministry of the Justice Foundation. Thank you for us as the church and all the places you've called us to, and thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. We thank you and praise you. And Father, with every passing day, more and more empower us to be the praying church that knows how to pray effectively according to your word and your will. And Lord, help us to be diligent students of your word so that we'll never find ourselves on the wrong side of any issue, any matter or concern, but help us to always be grounded in your word and your spirit and always on the right side of an issue in view of the fact that your word and your will keep us on that right side. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you and to make you brand new, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved and to commit your life to Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now and fully place your heart and your life in the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things, all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you daily. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live what I learn daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. I'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please email us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of either one or both of the articles that we shared, again, the two titles, the first one, Abortion is First-Degree Murder, and the second article, What is a Safe Abortion? Both articles, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get those discipleship resource articles to you. Please pray much for Attorney Alan Parker and the ongoing work and mission of the Justice Foundation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.